So during those 12 years of being in the flow state, God would not let me go back. I didn't want to, but even if I made a mistake, he wouldn't let me go back. I was forced to be in the flow state. And I wanted to be there because I was seeing so much that you never heard from any preacher, you never heard from anybody. I mean, imagine all of us, you're just going about your, like everybody else, one day, you're just going about your business. You could actually turn this into a movie, really. You're just going about your business, go to work, go home, pay your bills. Thinking about a family or whatever. Imagine you're thinking about 2.5 kids, white picket fence, pay your bills, build a house, do this, do this. And everything kept, and before I even saw the Shekinah glory, it's like everything was crashing and burning. It's like you could tell that God was removing stuff out of your life. And then I finally got to the point where I was like, what is going on? It's like he was dropping every foundation out from under me. Dependence on a college degree, dependence on whatever. He was just dropping it left and right. So I finally got into the point where I just, for 6 months, I just sit there, and after work, I just sit there. What happened was I started studying the 666 for 5 years. And then other stuff happened, stuff, you know, people let you down, people lie, stuff falls apart, you know, it was just crazy. You're trying to fix 3D, but 3D always crashes and burns, you know, I found that out. I had to get under the house yesterday. I thought, man, something else breaks. It's always something. But after seeing the 666 on everything, which is man's number, I said, Lord, I know this place. I know the devil's not winning. I said, what's really going on here? Why do we see 666 on everything? And that's when I was just in that mode, that mindset for like 6 months. And he said, it's right in front of you. I did it. I couldn't see it. I said, 6 months. 6 months later, I said, I still can't see it, Lord. I mean, this was an audible voice. He said, it's right in front of you. 2 months later, I couldn't see it. It was February 2012. Shekinah glory showed up, and I saw it. The first thing I saw was the blood everywhere. The color red represents the blood. The moon meant blood. And then I saw the cross, the black and white. I saw the cross everywhere, the blood of his cross, you know. And then I just kept seeing more stuff and more stuff and more stuff and more stuff. And people and situations were coming in, and I was able to see this and this and this and this. And it's like, oh, all this is just an object lesson. I'm being taught, oh, right in front of me is the cross. I cross my fingers, cross my legs, cross my arms, cross the street. Everything I do is the cross. And the blood represents the flow. So the first thing I saw was the blood. The second thing I saw was the cross everywhere, the blood of his cross everywhere. What is the crossword puzzle? What is the crossword puzzle of life? The cross and the word. That's why it's called a crossword puzzle. The puzzle of life is the cross and the word and the blood. Because if you look at a crossword puzzle, it's got black and white, it's got crisscross blocks, and it's got usually a red thing. Just Google crossword puzzle, you'll see black, white, and red. So then I realized all the Freemasons, the Jesuits, the Kabbalists, the magician priest class, the witches, the warlocks, they're all trying to hide the blood of his cross, and they're always promoting the 666 man. So they want to worship the creation instead of the creator, just like it says in Romans 1. And so he gives them over to reprobate mind because they want to worship the creation instead of the creator. That's what they get what they want. He gives you what you want. He'll give you even the saved people get the desires of their heart, right? Well, the unsaved people too. They want to worship the creation. Okay. You want to go down the spiral? You want to go down the rabbit hole to Disney World? Go ahead. He gives the saved the desire of their heart, and he gives the unsaved the desire of their heart. My whole life from a child, I just wanted the truth. It's all I ever wanted. I actually saw the cube. I saw in a nightmare, my mom and grandmother, I was sleeping on the couch, and there I saw this cube in a nightmare. I said, if the cube gets by, we all die. We all die. And that was before Star Trek cube ever showed up on the scene, you know. But I actually saw it in a vision, in a nightmare, in a dream slash nightmare. And I really thought it was real. It looked real. I could see the cube. It was wild. So there you go. I saw it in front of my mom and grandmother. I said, there, the cube, do you see it? Don't you see it? And then as many years later, I'm still saying, see the cube. I'm still saying it. That's why time don't exist. The very thing I saw as a child, I'm seeing today. And I'm crying out to people. See the cube? What are you talking about? Cube car, cube house, cube steak, cube doctrine, box, the cube box, the box life, the box, 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 box system, 666 box. The cube is everywhere. But then when I prayed, he showed me that the blood of his cross is everywhere. So the devil always wants to put the 666 in your face. He wants to hide the blood of his cross. So when I was in that flow state, seeing all these mysteries, nobody was teaching me. I was discovering them on my own. Now, as a few years went by, yeah, there were people that showed up and I was kind of stealing some code from them and here and there and piecemeal, you know, the esoteric people. But I always kept relating it back to the Bible. And so that was my call. I knew that was my calling in life, to take the code and point it back to the Bible. And I knew there were some people out there. Man, I know one that was caught up in that. And my calling in life was to show that esoteric points to the Bible. Show that everything points back to Christ. Everything else, everything points back to the cross. I saw that many years ago. Because I thought, these people are like the gematria people. I thought, you know, you guys ought to be able to see the Bible as the truth. I thought, how can the gematria people be so adamant about their little code stuff and not go to the Bible, the Bible code? And I saw the people, the Essenes. I thought, how do they break things down all the way down to its root, but they still think Yahweh, they still think Jehovah, what do they say? They think Lucifer and Yahweh are the same creature. It's like, I'm sitting here thinking, how can y'all be so smart but so dumb? Who else out there? There was another group, what was it? So you had the gematria people, you had the Essenes, the Gnostics. Those are the Gnostics were the ones that would break it down. Oh yeah, well the Essenes would break it down to, I think they were the ones that said Yahweh and Lucifer the same, which is a lie from the pit of hell. And then you had the Gnostics. They think knowledge is salvation, you know. Gnostics, they think the knowledge is the salvation. And then if you look at the Jesuits, the Jesuits don't even open a Bible until 5 years later down the road. They study every religion, and then they finally, after 5 years, they study their Bible. Now, what kind of logic is that? And then you got the Freemasons. What they do is they say, we're all one. We just come join our lodge. We don't care which religion is we all serve the same God, and then as you rise up in the higher 33 degree, they admit they worship Lucifer, and they actually think they're going to be God. They think Lucifer is the God of this world. Yeah, that's why they're always take care of themselves. That preacher, I rode that bike the other day, and that preacher who knows the Bible, I said, they hadn't bought your business out yet. I said, they all support each other. They hate the Christian. He said, yeah, they all take care of each other. They take care of their own, you know. They cover the tracks of their own and take care of their own, and they do the Illuminati sacrifices. If you don't think that's real, you're in delusion land. And they're trying to set you up every year about February. You get a break, January, February, but after that, March, April, May, June, July, August, they're trying to take and make you crazy, try to get you to commit suicide or something like that. It's all just repeating every year. I forget what they call it. They have a name for those little holidays. And so as the cycle repeats, as the game repeats, as you're in the flow, as you're really doing the research, as you're breaking the matrix, you're breaking free from Babylon, you're breaking free from the matrix. And so everything that happened in the Bible, so you wake up, right? Holy Spirit shows you the truth. You wake up, you start to leave. You reach 10,000 subscribers and people are waking up and they have to shut you down. But that's okay, because it wasn't about numbers, it was about the few select people, the few select that are ready to get serious about knowing what's going on in this reality. And then the censorship, then the pandemic, then the floods. I mean, it just kept going. The financial crisis, the inflation. See, all these distractions are to keep you from really, it's to keep you from really digging deep. And part of it is, if you can make it, if you can endure it. See, here's the deal. All these distractions are to keep you busy. Oh no, I got a roof leak. I got to go put a roof on. I got to fix a repair. I had a plumbing leak. But if you cut off the noise and the music, and you might have to fast and pray to stay in the flow state, even with all, oh, I got a flat tire. Oh no, I got to get my oil changed. Well, I got to go to work. I got to go to the grocery store. You'll find out you don't even need much food when you really get into fasting and prayer to break free from this illusion. You stay in the flow state for 12 years, it makes them crazy. It makes if for somebody to stay in the flow state for 1 year, the system goes crazy. But to stay in the flow state for 12 years, they go crazy and try to attack you. Then you start to focus about 9 years into it, you start to focus on your health. Okay, I saw through the matrix. I see what's going on. I see the game. Let me just focus on my health. They don't even like that. Anything you're doing that's healthy, wealthy, and wise, they try to slow you down and stop you. And I mean, it's real, people. And as part of it's the patterns that you set when you were a child and your bloodline, you know, the bloodline patterns apply for four generations, except for those that are under the blood, except for the saved people. When you get saved, those four generations, those strongholds in those four generations can be broken only by the blood, you know. But they still, it's like a phantom, it's still there. You might sound like your family, think like your family, but when you start to get in the flow state, these people start dropping off. People just start dropping off. They fall by the wayside. And you cry and you tear up and you say, Lord, I'm on this journey alone, it seems like. And then a couple people will be in the journey with you for a couple years. And then some people might be on the journey for 5 years, maybe 10 years. And then you start to see these programs that everybody's running on, and you're trying to break all these programs, and you can't go back to the fake reality. Fake news, fake love, fake reality, fake dreams, fake drama, fake you eventually wake up to the fact that your thoughts are not your own. There's no new thought. Here's what happens when you're in the flow state for 12 years, and some people get there faster. It just took me a long time. It took me 12 years. But you eventually get to the point where you'll see there's no space, there's no time. Everything's happening now. Deja vu is every moment of every day. You have to put shoes on every day, right? You'll see that most people are just regurgitating some kind of sitcom or some kind of saying. They'll come up with some new proverb, and you open the Bible, book of Proverbs. Well, it was already written here. They come up with the alpha male, the sigma male, and these beta things. And you say, well, that's what in Proverbs, the Bible talks about. You want to be a sigma male? Read Proverbs and put God, let God be true and every man a liar, and just focus on God. Then you're the sigma male, you know, God's will. See, what's happening is, when you do get in the flow state, you're able to see the spiritual warfare against that flow. And what is it? The will of mankind, the will of the flesh, and the will of the Gentiles. And they're always trying to pull you back out of God's will for your life into somebody else's will. That's the trick. If you know God told you to go over here and take this job and live in this city and do this, there's actually people trying to pull you into another city. I talked to this preacher a long time ago. I hope he's good. I don't know. I'm not gonna say who it was. I never mention people's names. I try to keep things under wrap. But he was in Hawaii, and his girlfriend was in the States, and all his people at church told him, don't do it, don't go. He was moving to the States, right, to be with that woman. And he asked me, I said, you know, the woman should follow the man, you know, that's a biblical archetype. But I said, you got to do what you got to do. He said, they're jealous because I found me a good looking woman and who had faith, and she's full of faith. And guess what happened, people? It didn't work out. Her and her girlfriend, they were in the elevator, and he said something. She says, why are you so mean? And blah, blah, blah. And so, see, the spiritual, yeah, there's perfect unity in the spiritual. Yeah, you might have a brother and sister in Christ in the spiritual that really do love each other. But then you leave your call, you leave your place, and you go somewhere else, and they have a natural, you have a natural. He said she went off the deep end, and she probably thought he went off the deep end because they faced off with the natural part. And he was by himself for so long that he wasn't sure he didn't understand that. And she was probably by herself for a long too. That's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. So when you get in the spirit flow, and other people around you, all they know is the natural flow, the natural. It's not even a flow, it's a stagnation. All they know is the natural realm, the survival mindset, survival of the fittest. That's all they know. Because when you're in the flow state, even though you're in survival mode, it don't feel like it because you're learning so much. God is revealing so much, you're downloading so much truth that it's like, this is easy compared to what I'm trying to reach into the spirit realm to pull down some more truth, to rightly divide this reality, see what's going on, using my Bible as my litmus test. That's harder than anything I do in the natural. Natural, as long as you got your health, you can walk down the street, you can walk to work, you can take a bus. It's not fun, but it's like, okay, the spirit realm is the real realm. So after about 6 years in that state, I mean, I was really like in another world for 6 years. And then it was coming to an end about being revealed what we're really in. I think I might have saw the simulation after 7 years. I'm not sure. I don't know when I started seeing the simulation. But I started, it might have been just a few years ago, but I started seeing patterns. I said, these patterns, we're in a simulation, you know. And so anyway, when it starts to, what's the word, wax and wane, when it started to kind of, once you saw enough and it started to kind of die down, you kind of miss that state, because it's almost like being in heaven. It's almost like you're already in heaven. That's the way it felt. So the revelations that you were seeing every day and just like coming to your mind, coming to your spirit, it's like, I'm already in heaven. And then you get knocked down. Get knocked down about 6 years into it. I got knocked down. Which it happened for a reason, because I had to get back to working and working a lot more hours and all. Working's a good thing, though. But once you spend about 7 years in the flow state, you learn how to do it. Even if you have trouble, even if something knocks you down for a day, you can get right back up into it, you know. But you think you're going to lose that. You think you're going to lose that feeling or that flow or whatever, but after you do something for 7 years, it becomes a part of you, you know. It's finished. Seven's the number of completion, right? What am I saying? Yeah, we got to live down here. And that's what they'll say. You're too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. Well, I did a lot of earthly stuff while I was in the flow state. I actually got more done because I wasn't depressed. I wasn't sad. I was just focusing on, it might be depressed and sad people drop off by the wayside, but those people needed to go away because they were not in the flow state with you, you know? And they didn't even understand it. I didn't even understand it, you know? But those people had to go away because they were not on the same path. They are on the same path, but they're just not on the same speed, I guess you would say it that way. If you're saved, you're on the same path with everybody else. Even if you're not saved, you're on a parallel path, but it's an inverted path. It's an anti-path, but it still looks like the same path, but it's just worship of self instead of worship of God. And so the flow state is a real thing, people. If it ever happens to you, you're not alone. You'll think you're crazy for the first couple of years. You'll really just be like, have I lost my ever-living mind? How come people can't see this? And it's almost like, boom, like a light turned on. Oh, the brake lights point to the blood. Oh, cars going down the road in the flow, that points to the blood. Oh, the stop sign's red because there's the blood. The blood has to flow. And if you stop at the stop sign, the typology still shows the blood flow because the sign is red, the stop sign is red, the stop light is red. The blood has to flow. The gospel has to flow. The truth has to flow. Speaking the word has to flow. The precog has to be there before the cog. In other words, John the Baptist had, and Jesus, when he walked, they were saying, "What, Hosanna, Hosanna." He said, if you didn't praise God, the rocks would shout out. Everything praises God. Everything's a praise and worship service. And everything has to preach Jesus. And so when you really see that, actually not just right there on the Bible in a 2D book, but you actually see it happening every day, all the time, 24/7, 7 days a week, the glory of God will fill the whole earth because it's already here. It's just a matter of opening people's eyes. And stuff I said 12 years ago that I saw, some of that stuff is starting to appear. Just like everything is a ship. I actually saw somebody about a year ago saying, yeah, think of your life as a ship. You know, it was on Instagram or something. The stuff that I threw out into the matrix, some of the stuff I talk about, it's like 50 years down the road. It feels like the rapture is getting ready to happen. But some of the stuff that I've revealed, that God revealed to me, that I gave out freely, it's like it's got to be 20 years advanced, just like the etymology. The etymology reveals, the etymology reveals deep truth because it lines up with the scripture, but you're taking the words and you're breaking them down into their constituent parts. And you're seeing the cognates and you're breaking words into parts. Just like you take the Bible and you rightly divide it, you break it into its parts and then you fit it back together into the whole. And so everything is like that. You look at a car, you got tires, you got a steering wheel, you got dashboard. There's many parts to make the whole. And you look at a house, many parts to make the whole. Then you look at your business or anything that you're doing, a family, a man, a woman, the kids, you know, many parts make the whole. The woman has her role, the man has his role, the kids have their role. It's all temporary down here because it all points to a higher truth. And what is the higher truth? Many parts make the whole. Many parts of the body of Christ make the whole. And so if you are yoked up with the same person, stay with them. Yeah, the flesh and the natural, you might fight and argue about stupid stuff in the natural, but if you start talking about the spiritual more every day, hopefully both people could be in the flow. If both people were in the flow, in the spirit, the chance of the marriage not breaking up is like, I would say, 99%. Because if it's all spiritual and you're in the spirit flow with each other and each person is serving each other, you serve one another in the home, in the spirit flow, with truth, with love, agape love, forgiving one another, then if you can get into that state, yeah, marriage can work. But most people never get in the flow state. And that's why people are living their own life in the same house, you know. And then you see them when they're 80 years old. You listen to people and they talk about their mother is wanting to file for, she's 80 years old and she's trying to file for divorce from her husband who's 81. And it's like, what? You waited that long? I mean, what good is it now? Why would you file for divorce at 80 years old? And you're both not even together. One's in a nursing home, one's at the house or something like that. Or one's in one room, one's the other. Why are you going to file for divorce? I just had a car fly down the street with no lights on. What was I talking about? I was talking about the flow state. The outside reflects the inside. I mean, this car didn't have his lights on out of nowhere. He just flew by. Really fast. Yeah, time flies. So they get 80 years old, time flies. They're acting like they're enemies with each other because they lived together so long and all they did was walk in the flesh and they hate each other because the flesh creatures end up hating each other. But the spirit creatures who walk in the spirit, they love everybody. And so, yeah, the flesh creatures get on your nerves, but you still try to, you have to put boundaries up. But you, when a person's acting stupid, right? They're acting the fool, right? When they're acting the fool, here's how you don't get bitter or get mad or get upset. You just look at that person and you say, you used to be that way, or you could have been that way, or you might have went that way. They haven't really entered in to true faith, or they haven't entered into the flow state. And you can actually take yourself, you can actually look at yourself from the outside, and when you get out of the flow state, you go, let's say you're at the, somebody cuts you off going down the highway and you get mad or whatever. You can say, you know, have I ever cut anybody off going down the highway? It's really an amazing thing. And when you really cut off the noise, cut off the music, try to isolate yourself a little bit and not like you're a hermit or something, because you got to go to work, you got to pay your bills, you got to do things. But you get a place where you can just get by yourself and think. And it might be in your car. And that's why when I would record messages while I'm driving, I was in the flow. Something about driving, because you're so focused on the road, you're so focused on everything going around you because you're trying to be safe and all. So the words that are coming out of your mouth, they're just flowing because you're not thinking about anything else but the road and what you're being downloaded. And it's a real thing. You might think it's crazy, but when I say downloaded, I don't mean like you're downloading it like the New Age say, but you got the Holy Spirit in you. So the Holy Spirit in you is revealing stuff, you know. And as you speak, it just flows. It's so addictive, but it's so beneficial that you don't want to lose that. And it's kind of like if you went to heaven, right? And somebody grabbed your foot and says, no, come back. You'd say, no, I ain't coming back down there. That place is crazy. And that's the way it is with the flow state. It's almost like you're hearing from heaven. You're seeing things so deep that you never heard any preacher talk about. And it's like the world's trying to grab one of your feet. It's like, come back to the real world. And you're saying, no, this ain't the real. This is a simulation. I'm in the real world. You need to come up to the real world and get out of the fake world. And so then that's where I'm at now, that everything cutting down, knocking down all these fake constructs, fake beliefs, fake relationships, fake everything. Fake thoughts. I mean, even your own thoughts can be fake at times. When you start to catch those issues, oh, that thought was not even real. Why am I worried about something that's not even real? Hadn't even happened yet. It might not ever happen. That's a fake thought. All you can do is prepare. In order to fight the fake thoughts, the worry or whatever, you prepare. So let's say you have a problem. You're worried about getting a flat tire on the highway, right? So what do? You create a little simulated training program. So you go one Saturday, go outside. If you're afraid of getting a flat tire, if it's a woman, ask your husband or your friend or your neighbor, or your brother, or your daddy or somebody. Say, I want you to come out here with me and I want you to show me how to put this spare tire on. And I want to do it myself, but I want you to guide me. And you go through the simulation. So next time you're driving down the road, you've changed that flat tire and you're no longer afraid of it anymore. You know you can do it. And so those vain imaginations, you catch those. Those stronghold thoughts, bringing every thought into captivity, you catch those thoughts. And I had a preacher one time when I was talking about this before, way long before, when I was still not seeing all this. I said, the Bible says, bring every thought into captivity. He said, you'll drive yourself crazy if you do that. And as time went on, no, you'll drive yourself crazy if you don't do it, because you'll be stagnated down here in the material realm. So you have to walk down here in the material realm, but you're also walking in the spirit realm at the same time. And which one is louder? The material realm is screaming. The spirit realm is like a small still voice. So you have to be intentional about cutting off the noise of the natural realm and listen for the spirit realm. And if you have to fast and pray and isolate, do what you got to do. But you also have to take care of your body. It's a balancing act. And you go from one extreme. You went from the natural to the spiritual. But then you have to learn to balance the two. And that's the issue. How do you balance that? And that's why the Apostle Paul, he said, if you're single, stay single. Because when you tie in down here to anything, there's a pull. You're tying into the world and you don't understand it. I know you don't understand it, especially if you never read that chapter and meditate on it. Especially if you're not born again, you don't understand it. But if you are born again and you're caught up in a bunch of ties down here, you don't understand that chapter. You don't even understand it. But after about 10 years of marriage and 10 years running a business and 10 years dealing with people, the more contracts you have down here, then you're going to really understand it. And you're going to look at the people. I had a boss one time. He said, you're the freest man I've ever met. I said, you got that right. I said, that didn't happen overnight. That started when I was a kid. He said, you're the freest person I've ever met. He said that. I said that exactly right. I said, but I was thinking, this didn't happen overnight. This started when I was a kid because I didn't want to be like those people in a house screaming and yelling and fighting and not even talking and playing these little mild, childish games. You know, I wasn't going to live that way. And then when I married and it started to appear, I said, nah, this ain't going to happen. In-laws, I call them outlaws, stirring up trouble. I said, no, I don't think so. This ain't my kind of life. I want peace. And then when you want peace and you say, I'm going to have peace, hell over high water, they try to turn you into the bad guy and tell lies about you that you're the one causing trouble and they're the one causing trouble. That's what's bizarre. And so that's why the whole system's narcissistic. They have to project onto you what's in them. And they try to steal your identity and apply it to them. And it just never ends. And so that's why the flow state is such an addicted thing, because you're in another realm. You're walking down here, but you're hearing from heaven, you know. And to give that up is almost like there's no way. There's no way. There's no way. I used to fight for peace, you know. Now I fight for the flow state. Because the flow state is peace. So I'm still fighting for peace. When I was a kid, I fought for peace. Get out of my face. I want peace. I ain't getting out of it. Well, I'll knock you out. Get out of my face. Or we're gonna have peace, or you're gonna get knocked out. You know. I fight for peace. Almost every day of my life. I fought for peace my whole life, and now I fight for the flow state, which is peace. Because the love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith, you know. The flow state, part two. It is what it is. Whether you can receive it or not, believe it or not, it is what it is.